Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 11 through 14 of Ephesians. You go to Galatians, the next book over would be Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 through 14. I'll read the odd number verses, numbers 11 and 13, if you'll join with me on verses 12 and 14 this morning. If you found Ephesians chapter 1, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll be reading and starting verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You so much for the reading of Your Word. And open up the Bible, Lord, I pray that You bless the speaker, bless us as we listen this morning, open our ears and our heart to the message. Lord, I pray that just the Holy Spirit would have free reign. Bless, I pray, this special prepare in our hearts for the message. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?
Was it for crimes that I had done He groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond day.
The sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin.
At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And now I am happy
song, fellas. Thank you for that this morning. Well, I hope you're not getting tired of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. I'm a little disappointed in Brother Bragg that he just doesn't quote that for us now on Sunday. We'll give him one more shot next weekend, okay? And we will be back there, probably one more message but I've enjoyed myself. I know I'm not asking you to comment, but I have appreciated and enjoyed the truths about the purchased possession. And I want to speak to you on that subject again this morning. You see it there in verse number 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And so let's pray, and we'll get into number 5 this morning. Our Father, we are thankful today for the cross of Jesus where our burdens were rolled away. So glad for that, Lord. And what a good song, Lord, to launch us into this message as we want to point out today a very specific lesson from this passage. May you help me, please, as your tool, as your voice, to convey a truth that will challenge all of our hearts. Fill us, Lord God, fill both speaker and listener today. Help us, I pray, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Now, hopefully it's not too loud for you out there. It sounds very loud to us, but our monitors are not working good. Is that okay for you out there? Not blowing you out. Okay, very good. Well, by now, after listening to 4 messages on this subject, you know that when a person becomes a child of God, they become His purchased possession. That's what the Bible tells us. This is not the only place the Bible teaches us that we become a possession of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible tells us that we are bought with a price and we are not our own. We belong to God. And that price was the subject of the second message in this series. I talked about the price of the purchase. And of course, the price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All right? The first message was the plan of the purchase. The plan of the purchase. God chose the how, but He did not choose the who. The who is whosoever will. Message number 3 was on the promise of the purchase. And here's the promise. The promise is that as soon as we get saved and become the purchased possession of God, the Holy Spirit moves within us. We become a residence of the Holy Spirit. He takes up His abode inside of us. And that is the promise as soon as we get saved. But now, last week, we talked about the fact that not only was there a promise of the purchase, there's a pledge of the purchase. And the pledge is that inheritance. Okay? The Holy Spirit moves in our body. That's earnest. In other words, what God is saying when He gives us the Holy Spirit is, enjoy this, but there's more to come. There's more to come, and I'm glad that there is more to come. And we preached about heaven last week, and heaven is our inheritance, and a new body to enjoy it in. And Jesus is the reason we're there. And so those are the messages we brought so far on this subject of the purchased possession, the plan, the price, the promise, and the pledge. And what a wonderful truth that we're learning about, that we are His purchased possession. And belonging to God, being a child of God, is the greatest blessing anyone could enjoy. No doubt about it. No wonder then, when you read the Bible, you read of people rejoicing in salvation. Let me take you to, without you turning there, let me quote for you or read for you just these verses out of the book of Psalms. Now listen to this. Psalm 9:14, I will rejoice in thy salvation. Psalm 13:5, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Psalm 20 and verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation. Psalm 35:9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. Now personally, friend, I don't mind someone getting happy in the Lord during a service. I don't mind a good amen. I don't mind a glory to God. I don't mind a hallelujah. I don't mind a head. I don't mind a hanky shake from a lady. I don't mind those things. I enjoy people who enjoy their salvation. And I enjoy people who like to express it once in a while. To me, that's a lot better advertisement for the Lord's salvation than a long face and a dry soul that's usually behind the long face. It really is. Being happy in the Lord. And by the way, there's plenty to rejoice about when it comes to being saved. And I won't even preach this today. This passage points out several reasons why it's wonderful to be saved. Look at verse number 5. In verse number 5, he talks about the adoption of children. Do you see that? I don't even have time to talk about that this morning. But that is a cause to rejoice for being saved. We're adopted. Verse number 6 in chapter 1. Look at it. It talks about us being accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. I got to tell you about this, okay? I don't have time to preach this, but I can't let this pass. I got to tell you about a story that I read not too long ago about Harry Ironside. Now, I didn't know Harry Ironside because he's a little older than me, okay? But anyway, let me get this thing on there. Here we go. Harry Ironside, he was preaching. He was a great preacher, medical doctor. He was preaching out in Washington State, and he was staying with some sheep ranchers. They had thousands of sheep, and it was lambing time, usually in the spring of the year, if my knowledge is correct, it's lambing time. That's when my neighbor has all his lambs. And so it was lambing time. And they would go out in the morning. He'd go out with the farmers, with the ranchers during the day, preach at night. And so one morning he was out with the ranchers, and he saw this ewe coming across the pasture there. And behind the ewe, tagging close behind this ewe, was this lamb that was the strangest looking thing he'd ever seen in his life. It looked like it had six legs, like some kind of mutation. And the skin was loose around the bottom of the legs. It was flapping around. And he said to the rancher, he said, "What in the world is that?" Talking about lamb. "What's that lamb out there? What is that?" And the rancher said, "Oh," he said, "let me tell you the story about that lamb." He said, "The ewe that lamb is following gave birth to a lamb that got bit by a rattlesnake and died. So the ewe had no lamb." He said, "That little lamb following that ewe, his mother died." Her mother, whatever, the boy, male or female, I don't know. But that little lamb's mother, that mother ewe, died. And so the lamb had no mother. So he said, "We had a ewe with no lamb and a lamb with no ewe." So we got the idea that, well, let's put this little lamb in with this ewe, and maybe she'll nurse it and cherish it and take care of it like it was her own. And so they put the two in this little pen together, and the little lamb went up to the ewe, and the ewe sniffed it and wanted nothing to do with it. Pushed it away. Wanted nothing to do with it whatsoever. And so they thought, what are we going to do? So they got the idea. They went out, and just the same day, they had the dead little lamb that had died of the rattlesnake bite that the ewe gave birth to. And they skinned that lamb. And they took the skin of that lamb that the ewe gave birth to, and they put that skin over the lamb that had no mother. And they tied it on there as tight as they could. They couldn't get the feet tied, the legs tied real tight. And then they put that little lamb, now that little lamb is wearing the hide, the skin, are you with me? Of that mother's little dead lamb. And when they put them in the pen together and that little lamb went over there, that ewe took that little lamb immediately and started nursing it and cherishing and taking care of it just like it was hers. And Harry Ironside said, "My goodness, the light came on. You see, we try to go to God in the coats and rags of our sinful condition, and God wants nothing to do with us, and God has nothing to do with us in our sinful state. But a lamb died on a cross one day, and when you get saved, you get robed in the righteousness of the Lamb of God, and brother, then God takes you in as His child and makes you His own." What a beautiful picture of being accepted in the Beloved. Amen? That's why it's important to know that you're saved. Amen? And that reason for rejoicing, accepted in the Beloved. In verse number 7, he talks about being redeemed through His blood. In verse number 7, he talks about forgiveness of sins. In verse number 11, he talks about obtaining an inheritance. In verse number 13, he talks about being sealed with the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, friend, that brief list right there barely touches the hem of the garment. Just slightly scratches the surface. No wonder the psalmist said, "I will rejoice in thy salvation." No wonder he was happy to be saved. Now let me pause and say today that if there is anybody in here this morning and you are not saved, or you're not even sure what it means to be saved, and you don't know where you're going when you die, you don't know if it's heaven or if it's hell. By the way, it's only one of two places. And so you don't know where you're going. You don't have that matter settled yet. Let me say to you that this great and wonderful salvation is available to you. It's available to you. And Jesus Christ came to the earth to die on the cross and was buried and rose again to prove that He was the Son of God. And He did all of that to pay for our sin debt. And maybe you are carrying a load of guilt this morning because of your sin, and you don't know what to do with it. You're burdened down by it. Let me tell you, friend, that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus takes care of that. If you will come to Christ, Confess that you are a sinner and receive Him and embrace the salvation that He provided on the cross. Your sins will be forgiven. Your eternity will be settled. God will take away the guilt, forgive the sin, and give you the gift of eternal life and a home in heaven. You can't beat that with a stick, friend. The blood He shed on the cross has the power to wash away your sin and change your life. Let me say today, if you're not sure that you're saved, be saved and be saved today. And don't hesitate. Be saved and be saved today. And don't hesitate if you're not sure that you're saved. And many of us can say amen to that. And you know, we sing that song. I was so amazed that we sang the song for the opening song this morning. Saved, 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 I'm happy on my way. Say that happy song about being saved. And we sing a song once in a while. Saved by His power divine. Saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. For I'm saved, saved, saved. I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. My home is in heaven. My eternal destiny is settled. And I say amen to that. But wait, but wait, but wait. All of that is true. But is salvation only for us? Is salvation just for you? Is salvation just for me? Is the great gift of salvation, does it only benefit us? Well, friend, it's not supposed to. Because three times in this passage, Paul tells us, wait a minute now, that salvation is not just for us. It's for Him. Salvation is for Him. Look at verse number 6 in this passage. Look at what it says here. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Look at verse number 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory. Look at verse number 14. The last phrase into the verse. Unto the praise of His glory. I've said so many times from this pulpit, God does not repeat Himself because He runs out of something to say. When God repeats Himself, it's for sake of emphasis. Emphasis. Now watch it. He is going down through these verses telling how wonderful it is to be saved. How great it is to be saved. Man, we have the adoption of children. We're accepted in the Beloved. We were redeemed by His blood. We're forgiven of our sins. We have an eternal home in heaven. We're sealed with the Holy Ghost. But hey, Christian, salvation is not just for you. It is also for the praise of His glory. It is for the glory of God. It is for the honor and glory of God. It is not just for us. It is for the praise of His glory. And that's what I'm preaching about this morning. The praise of the purchase. The praise of the purchase. Yes, on our end, our sins are forgiven. Our names are written down. Our home is in heaven. Our eternal destiny is settled. Oh, friend, on God's end, our salvation should result in the praise of His glory. Here's what I'm saying this morning. Our salvation should ultimately result in God being praised and bringing Him glory. And that's not hard for us to understand. If you're having a difficult time understanding that this morning, here, let me just give you a little illustration I think will help. Michelangelo was a man with great talent and ability, wasn't he? Unbelievable talent and ability. People would come from miles to view his sculptures, his artwork, his paintings. They still do. He was loaded with talent, loaded with ability. Now watch this. Through brush and paint, on the walls and the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, that talent and ability was displayed. And the picture is beautiful, and the painting is tremendous. And people travel. Is that in Rome? The Sistine Chapel is in Rome. Yeah, that's in Rome. People travel from all over the world to visit the Sistine Chapel, to look up in the ceiling, to look on the walls and see the work of Michelangelo. And yes, the painting is beautiful, but what do people talk about when they walk away? They talk about the artist. They talk about Michelangelo because the chapel, the ceiling and the walls was the canvas, if you will, where his talent and his ability is displayed. Now, God is great in power. He is great in compassion. He is great in wisdom. He is great in grace. He is great in mercy. He is great in forgiveness. He is great in all of those things. In fact, He's all powerful, all wise, all loving, all gracious, all merciful. But friend, it's through the lives of the people He saves. It's through my life and your life that God's power and knowledge and wisdom and love and grace is supposed to be displayed. People are supposed to see our lives and give God grace, praise. People are supposed to see our lives and walk away talking about the greatness of God. There's something different about that man when he comes to work. There's something different about that lady around the neighborhood. There's something different about that teenager at school. That teenager at school doesn't use foul language. That man doesn't sit around while somebody's telling a dirty joke. He turns his attention somewhere else. That person acts and walks and smells and talks like a Christian. There's something, and that's a display of the glory of God. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. Our salvation, oh, hey, listen, I don't mind rejoicing in salvation. I hope that you rejoice in your salvation. I like to raise my hand. I like to say, praise the Lord. I like to say, amen. I enjoy it. I don't mind it one bit. I like the expression of joy about being saved. But I will tell you something. All of that is not just for me. My salvation is to bring Him glory and Him honor. Now, not just for me and you to enjoy. Salvation is to put on display for all to see. The greatness of God and for Him to be glorified. I want to tell you something, friend. There is nothing. I'll repeat that. There is nothing. Look, there is nothing. I don't care how fancy a church building is. Plate it with gold. And put marble in it. And buy $1 million chandeliers. And coat the pavement of the parking lot with silver. I don't care how fancy you make a church property. Nothing brings glory to God like a changed life. Nothing. Nothing brings glory to God like a changed life. Fancy church buildings don't bring glory to God. Fancy church buildings bring glory to man. Sure they do. But I'm telling you, a changed life, a changed life, a changed destination, changed values, changed vision, changed morals, change behavior. That brings glory to God. And that's exactly what God wants out of us. God has always had His glory in mind when it comes to our salvation. And there's nothing that brings God glory like a sanctified life, a life set apart for God, a life separated unto God. And this is so key, friend. Please understand that God, all God has ever done, God never did only something just for a person or a people. God always had a couple, here's what I mean. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, it wasn't so just so they could come out of Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt so they could go into the promised land. That's what He said. Moses said, He brought us out that He might bring us in. And if all God didn't just, if the children of Israel for 40 years, all they did was come out. And God wasn't glorified in that. But when they got in the promised land, God was glorified in that. And God doesn't, look, God is not pleased just when you and I separate from the world. God wants us to separate from the world unto Him. My salvation, your salvation is not just a fire escape from hell. Our salvation is to bring glory to God. So here's the question this morning. Is my life, is your life, bringing any praise or glory to God? Is it? Take your vocation, men. Are you any different in your vocation of life than the other guy who's in your same vocation? Are you any different? Take your neighborhood. Where, yes, there are some saved people that live in the neighborhood, but I would imagine there are some lost people who live in the neighborhood, and probably predominantly lost people in the neighborhood. Is your family's life any different than the two or three houses on each side of you? Because if it's not, and you claim to be saved, you're not getting the whole thing. Our salvation is good. For us, it's a, hey, thank God we don't have to go to hell. Thank God our sins are forgiven. But it won't stop there. Our salvation is supposed to bring Him glory. Our salvation is supposed to bring Him glory. When God purchased us, it wasn't just for our good or our benefit. It was ultimately for His glory. Here, I admire men who can take something old and broken and worn out and remodel and repair it. Now, I can take something brand new, beautiful, and clean and tear it up. That's what I can do. I'm just not good with my hands as far as working on stuff. If there's a bolt to be dropped or a screw to be dropped, I can drop it. And it always lands in the most inconvenient spot that there is. But I admire guys. There's a guy in our church, and probably many of you know who this is. He's already remodeled one truck, and he is in the process of remodeling right now, rebuilding and remodeling a Model A Ford. Wow. I've been there twice. Been in his garage twice. Stopped and showed my dad and my father-in-law and my brother before the wedding last week. We were down to see where Luke and Jessica lived, and we stopped in that neck of the woods. He was in the garage working. I said, you guys have got to see this. So we walked in. Here's this old, rusted Model A. But you know what? He started repairing some of the chassis and putting new parts on and doing this. And you can see that thing coming back to life. You can see that old Model A looking like a new vehicle in some places where he's already worked. And he does all that himself. He buys a few parts, but he puts it together. And he does a lot of the work himself. He has the ability and the knowledge to care for that old piece of worn out and busted and broken metal and make it brand new. And you know, yeah, I walk out of the garage and get back in the car thinking, boy, that's going to be a nice car. But I'll tell you what I'm more impressed with. I'm more impressed with the guy who can make it nice. That's what I'm impressed with. I'm impressed with that ability. I'm impressed with that knowledge. I'm impressed with that care. I'm not sure that I would even care enough. Are you with me? To restore an old Model A. I'm not even sure. And he has the ability, and he has the knowledge, and he has the care to take that old rust bucket, torn and torn and messed up, and make it brand new. And I want to tell you something. That is what our lives should do. Our lives should leave people impressed, not with us, but with the one who took an old piece of junk and made it all new. Put it all back together. Does your life bring any praise to God? Does your salvation bring any glory to God? Does it? That's a fair question to ask. My salvation is not just for me to rejoice. Hey, friend, this is a theme repeated all through the New Testament. You got your Bible open to Ephesians 1. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 7. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 7. He says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding... Let's go back to verse 6. And hath raised us up together, saved people, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Did you get that? You and I are going to be on display for eternity. Did you ever knock on a door? I told you about this. Jake Payne. Jake, you were with me. I forget that guy's name down there in Kankakee. Used to go to this church with somebody that had a bus. Started visiting for a few minutes, asked him if he was saved. Yes, I'm saved. I've got baptized. I'll tell you when I got saved, when I got baptized. And we talked for a few minutes. He said, let me show you something. So he walked down the hallway there, through the garage door, and into the garage. I think I told this on a Wednesday night. Opened the door, and here was this beautiful, beautiful, pastel, pale yellow, was it yellow, 1957 Chevrolet. Covet. It's beautiful. And man, he was so happy to walk us in that garage and show us this car. And he was working on another car, wasn't he? I forget what he was working on, but he was working on another car beside the one he'd already restored, that 57 Chevy, and he's got one over here that he's working on again. And you know, that man was so pleased to show us that car and talk to us about that car and look in that car. That car was on display. It was on display. Do you understand, friend, that you and I, old sinners by birth, who deserve nothing but hell, God is going to put us on display in the ages to come and say, look at that. That old boy was on his way to hell. He deserved to be in hell right now. But my son Jesus died for him and forgave him his sins and washed him and made him clean. And not only did he give him a home in heaven, but he changed his life and gave him a reason worth living. And that's what God is, that's what God wants out of my life, and that's what God wants out of your life. God wants some glory. God wants some praise. Is he getting out of glory, any glory? Is he getting out of praise, any praise out of your life? You know what? Flip over. If you've got your Bible open, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll skip a couple of these for time's sake. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. And let me just show you this verse here. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's back about a bit behind Hebrews and then James. And then look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. And this is what I'm talking about right here. Look at this. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should watch this now, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who called us out of darkness? God did. Who brought us into marvelous light? God did. Whose praises are we supposed to show forth? His. This is the praise of the purchase. My salvation is not just for me to enjoy. It's to bring praise and honor to God. Now let me say to all who are saved this morning, all who claim to be, to have received Jesus Christ, and you have been delivered from the punishment of hell, do you really believe that salvation is just for us? You think it's just for us to enjoy? No. No. My salvation, your salvation, our salvation, there is a greater design in this plan of salvation than just our deliverance from hell. God's grand design is that He receive glory because He deserves it. He's worthy. He's worthy. When the Holy Spirit opened up the curtains of heaven in the book of Revelation, after the rapture in chapter 4 and chapter 5, and John looked into the throne room of God, what were they doing? Praising God and singing and rejoicing. And you know what they were saying? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and blessing and praise and wisdom. He is worthy, friend. That is the great challenge for me this morning. That's the great challenge for you. Yes, let's sing the song, saved, saved, saved. I'm happy on my way. Let's be glad that our sins are forgiven. Let's be glad that we're justified. But let's not stop there. Is my life bringing Him any glory? Is your life bringing Him any glory? I'm talking about the praise of His purchase. God is to be praised. He's to be recognized as powerful, loving, kind, faithful, wise, gracious, merciful, holy. How do people see that? He puts all of those attributes on display in our lives. And all of those attributes are the fruits of salvation. And they're to be on display to everybody we walk with, everybody we work with, everybody we live around. Listen, I'm almost done. And I'm sure some of you are glad. Amen. But anyway, I'm not going to quit till I get done here. By the way, folks, whatever you think, if what I'm preaching is truth, you're held accountable for it. So you can sit there and blow it off all you want to and wonder what time lunch is. But you're hearing it, you're accountable. That's the bottom line. Just going to tell you that. That's the truth of God's Word. You can call this a waste of time if you want to, but you better not. If I thought it was a waste of time, I wouldn't come. Now listen. I thought about this week. Psalm 19:1. Now watch it. The heavens declare the glory of God. So when man looks up, he sees the sun, the moon, and the stars, the galaxies. He sees the order of the day and the night. 12 approximately 12 hours of daylight, so sometimes 12 hours of darkness, and it varies according to the sea. He sees the hot and the cold, the winter and the summer. He looks up and he sees all of that. And the heavens say, God deserves glory. Unless he's been to the University of Illinois, he recognizes that. But if he's been to the University of Illinois or Iowa or Georgia or wherever you're from, Missouri, well, all of this is the result of some big explosion. Right. And if you really believe that, I've got a nice bridge to sell you down there. So man looks up, watch it now, and God's glory is on display. And when you get away from artificial light, and get out in rural areas, we pulled into Washington, Iowa. Was it a few weeks ago, Joyce? Remember that? Pulled in after 9 o'clock on Saturday night, getting ready for Sunday. And Washington, Iowa is a town of 6,500. County of about 19,000. There's no artificial light there, very little. We stepped out of the car in the motel parking lot, and my wife looked up and she said, good night, look at this. Look at this. And we both stood there for just a minute, looking up. And all of that was just hollering. God is deserving of glory. God deserving of praise. Wow. God's worthy. Now when man looks horizontal, where does he see the glory of God? When he looks up, he sees it in the stars, the moon, the sun, the heaven. But when he looks around, he's supposed to see a teenager whose life is different from all the other teenagers. Not because he's any better than them, but he's saved. He's supposed to see a man at work whose life, his talk, his vocabulary, his everything about him is just different. Because he's saved. And ladies who live in neighborhoods and children who live in neighborhoods and when lost man looks up into the sky vertically and he sees the sun, the moon, and the stars, the Bible says that the heavens shout, God's glory, God's glory. And you know what the honest truth of the matter is, friend? On earth, when men look horizontally, my life and your life is supposed to shout, God's glory. God's glory. Oh, yeah. Supposed to shout it. God's glory. God's glory. That's what salvation was intended to do. Salvation was not just some gift that you and I could handle and feel and touch. And salvation is a gift to be received and further developed in our lives so that our life says, glory to God. I hope that you'll allow the Holy Spirit take an honest assessment of your life this morning. Is your life any different from the lives of your neighbors? Is your life any different from the life of your co-workers, your unsaved relatives? You say, well, Pastor, I go to church. Folks, thousands of lost people go to church. Come on. Church? I'm for church, but that's the sum total of our Christianity. When you're at a restaurant and nobody else prays for their meal, do you? Do they even track them? What kind of values? What kind of vocabulary? I was knocking doors in Iowa, Brother Brian. I want to tell you where it is because I don't want you to know who this is. You would know who this is if I said too much. I got to be vague. I knocked on the door. I howled with the man for a little bit. I said, hey, listen, I'm over at Marion Avenue Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to our services. We howdy, you know. I said, do you work anywhere? He said, yeah, I work at such and such a place. I said, oh, do you know brother so? Do you? I didn't call him brother. I said, do you know so-and-so? He was one of the main ushers in our church back then. He said, that guy goes to your church? I said, yes. He said, man, he plays cards with us. Tells dirty jokes. Well, what am I going to say now? Okay, have a nice day. I'll tell you what, my heart was crushed. My heart was crushed. I had no idea that guy lived like that. Was he saved? I don't know. He claimed to be. Might have enjoyed his salvation too. But I'm going to tell you something. The other side of it didn't work. His life didn't bring any praise to God. This gets right down where we live. But that's okay, isn't it? Isn't that right where we live? What's your vocabulary like? What's your music like? What are the thoughts and intents of our hearts? Are we living the same way as lost people live, yet claiming salvation? Friend, if you and I are saved, it is time for our salvation, not just to forgive us of our sins and purchase us a home in heaven. It's time for our salvation to bring glory to God. So that where you teenage boys work, Nick and Curtis, and where you men work, Brother Marty and others, and where you live in your neighborhoods, somebody goes, you know, there's something different about that person. There's something different. I don't know what it is. But boy, that's a life that's different. That's what he's talking about. To the praise of his glory. To the praise. Look. Well, I just think we ought to be one of the guys. So do I. So do I. But only so far. And if I am no different because I'm saved than the guy who's lost, I'm missing it out this morning, what I'm talking about this morning. To the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. That's the fellow who's sitting in this room this morning who came and got saved. Came to discipleship class and finished. One of his co-workers, he got to come to work, to church. He's sitting in his room this morning. And I went to visit that co-worker and his wife. How is it you came to our church? And he said, well, it's so-and-so. The guy that's sitting in this room right now while I'm speaking. So, man, he used to come to work, scowl, fuss, cuss, carry on, hateful. Now he's driving his forklift, singing. Driving around with a smile on his face, singing. He's happy. You know what that is? Without even knowing it, that old boy was giving glory to God. Man, that's what I'm talking about this morning. The praise of the purchase. I'm glad to be saved. I'm so happy to be saved, I can't stand it. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. And I don't. But that's not all salvation is. What I enjoy, he's supposed to get credit for. Amen? Glory to God. What a deal. Father in heaven, I am so happy to be saved. I don't know what to say this morning. But I sure want my life to bring you glory and honor and the praise that you're so worthy of. May your grace work in our church this morning. May your grace work in our hearts, please. Challenge us, Lord. Please challenge our hearts today. Please, I beg you. May this not just be time invested in a service, but may this be time, Lord, where we let you speak to us. Please. Please.